Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we love you and we thank you. Father, thank you for your truth and your word, Lord. Thank you for your presence. And thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that the Word teaches us, reveals to us, and helps us. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, I'm going to continue with our study series, Jesus, the Son of God. These are the subjects. There's about, what, 5 sessions before? 1, 2, 3, 4. This would be the 5th or something like that. And these are the subjects that we've been seeing. This would be the 5th session. So the first session's do you have the names? Okay, the first one is, who is this Jesus? The second session, Jesus, the Messiah, or the Christ. Saw Jesus, Messiah, or the Christ, which means the anointed one. The next one is Jesus enough for you? Jesus, the Lord, and that one's the most important one. It's very important that we understand the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to see, who is this Jesus? And the answer is, he is the Word of God. But before touching on this, I would just want to remind you of our last session that we spoke on, which was on the Lordship of the Lord. You have to understand that the word Lord means owner. Owner, I think that's the most practical definition I can give. And you have to meditate if Jesus truly is your Lord. Perhaps he can be Savior. You're saved. If you die, you go to heaven. But is he your Lord? Millions of Christians, Jesus is not their Lord. Perhaps it will help you with what I'll be speaking on today, moment, on the Word. Him and his Word are one. Now, I don't know about you, and I'm not here to stand up saying that I'm better than you, but this is just the truth that I respect my Lord a lot. For me, he is someone who lives in me. He's alive in my life. And there are people who think or assume that if you speak on the love of God, on the grace of God, there are many Christians who say, no, those subjects aren't any good. Because then the people go to other extremes and then they live in sin or disobedience because they don't fully understand the word. The Lord said, you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I don't tell you much of my personal life because I don't want to make a doctrine of this, but even though I believe in the grace of God and I preach a lot on this subject, you'd be surprised on my standards of life. You perhaps could face me as someone who is very religious if you see my standards of life. My very own discipline in the Lord. You could perhaps call me religious, and that's what I at least am. But the Word of God, especially when you speak on the Lordship of the Lord, the decisions that you take, that's where you'll know if the Lord is truly your Lord or just your Savior. You need to operate in what is known as the fear of God. The fear of God. Or the fear of the Lord is when you have such high respect that you truly consider who lives in you. For example, or just give an example, perhaps you could relate to it. Any of you think of someone that you've respected a lot, perhaps your parents, your mom, your dad, and perhaps an uncle. Someone whom you have a high respect for. I think of my pastor who's in heaven and my mentors in the faith. I would never speak wrongfully of them. I never raised my voice at them. I never did anything like that. Imagine how much more than my Lord. What is it that gives you that assurance, that conviction of the Lordship of God? And that's what I'll be speaking on tonight. The word is not important in your life, then you're going to take decisions wrongfully. For example, you can see society, how parents take such bad decisions that their children see it. They see those decisions. And then after that, their children are lost in the world or taking terrible decisions. But they saw it from their parents. But look at it in the positive side. If our children see us that we truly have fear of God and that we truly honor God, there is going to be something different there. Let me share a verse here with you that is very wrongfully applied in the churches. And for me, it's a lack of understanding. In Ephesians 5, and I'll extract something from this, and in a moment I'll touching on what Jesus is the Lord, Jesus is the Word. Ephesians 5, verse 25, 26-27. I need to read these first verses so you can understand my point is. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he may present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish. So people preach from this verse and they think that it's putting Christians as they have to be super perfect. If not, then Christ will never come. Here, this isn't speaking of a church that when it says not having spot or wrinkle or any blemish, this is in the spirit. One time, speaking with a sister in Christ, she's already quite old. She's a very kind sister in Christ. She's very fearful of God. They're very kind people. But she was telling me how much she had sinned in the world and how in the churches as well. And that's true. And she said, how will Christ come? And she quoted me this verse. But they're speaking of works of saying that you have to be the most perfect person with no mistake. Then he will never come. But this isn't about the flesh. That's what we do in the flesh. But the reason why people do evil things then, because they don't understand that here in the spirit, you are without any blemish. And when you have a relationship with the Lord, you start hearing his voice. And the Holy Spirit is very limited from Genesis to Revelations. The Holy Spirit will not move from Genesis or Revelations. And he will always glorify the Lord Jesus. So when you start having a relationship with the Word of God, you'll start respecting and saying, hey, regardless of what I feel or what I want to do, I'm going to do it. In the youth service we had in Tucson, where's Amber? I was talking with Amber and we were just talking and said, if it were for me, I wouldn't be in a position of leadership. Honestly, I don't like it. She said, why? Well, I said, all responsibility in the natural and the spiritual is on the shoulders in the case of a pastor. And she was surprised when I said that. She said, the reason why I'm here is because I'm obeying the Lord. And that's my point. Will you truly have the fear of God? Will you set your sights? Will you take decisions not based on your flesh, on what you want or what you feel? You'll do them literally because you know that the Spirit of God through his word is guiding you. Now, how to achieve that? Good question. Jesus and his word. We saw Jesus is the Son of God. He is the anointed, God himself. And he is the word of God. John 1, the word of God says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So Jesus, our Lord, is the second person in what is known as a deity or the Trinity. Now, Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know what the deity is, because every time I ask something, think as if the world, someone from the world is asking, what is that deity? Do any of you know what the deity is? Yeah, thank you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. People have asked me, speaking of baptisms that we're going to be having, Brother Hughes, why do you baptize in the name of Jesus? And not in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? The reason is the Lord said here in Matthew 28. Verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples, not Christians, not converted ones. The church has failed in this, but that's another subject. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When the Lord said this, they were still under the law. So when the grace of God comes in, or the time of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul reveals to us. And now we see in Colossians 2:9 that in him is the full Godhead bodily. And in other letters we see that everything be done or in the name of the Lord Jesus, which is the word that we have. And look for it here. Well, I'll leave it. You know where it's at. There you go. Why is it if I'm in Colossians, I can't see? Oh, it's sometimes hard to find verses like this. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. There we go. And interestingly, the Lord Jesus gave that order, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But if you study the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, but it should be the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. If you read the whole book of Acts, you'll never see a single occasion in which it was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. And actually, it may seem that Peter disobeyed the Lord. Because the Apostle Peter, too, now, we're not going to fight over if we say that if someone baptizes in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we don't, that's just nonsense. Don't fall in that. Don't fall into fighting with brothers in Christ that believe differently. Leave them. You stay with the Word. So the Word of God is very important then. If the Word of God, you don't place it in your heart, even when you're praying, you don't have that intimacy. There are Christians who don't even know how to defend themselves. For example, one thing is that you say that you're against abortion, but you don't even know to say where it's wrong. For example, if you tell someone that you're against abortion, do you know, can you go to the Bible? Because you have those verses studied. At least you say in the word says, and you quote that verse. Perhaps you don't remember exactly, but at least you can quote it. The grand majority of Christians, the word of God is not enough for them. so then you will not receive Jesus as Lord. John 5. Verse 39. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Now the Lord speaking. Let's read a bit more. Verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's. In 35 it says, you were burning and shining lamp, referring to John the Baptist. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. What he was telling them is, yeah, you've never seen him, but I'm him. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And from here comes much doubt and unbelief from Christians, because they don't base their life in the Lord Jesus. Every decision that they take it from the world, they take it in the flesh, they take it out of offense, they take it angrily, because there's no word. There's no intimacy with the Lord. Even when you pray, and you pray in the acts of thanksgiving, what better than to quote the word of God? Father, thank you that I am more than a conqueror. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you always take me to triumph. You're speaking the word, and the word, if the word isn't important for you than for many Christians, then your life will be very miserable. Although God loves you, he loves you regardless of your actions, you'll sometimes doubt if God loves you, because you say, well, if God loves me, why do I always struggle? Because you've taken bad decisions in your flesh, or you've taken decisions that God never told you to take, and you've taken decisions out of being offended. And that's why Jesus is not your Lord. And the reason he's not your Lord, or forgive me, the reason he's not your Lord, then you have no intimacy with the word. It was, I want to hear the voice of the Lord. You want to increase that hearing or the understanding of the Spirit. Apart from praying in other tongues, spend time in the word. Don't read the word of God as, oh Lord, you owe me something. Look, I read 5 chapters. Forget about it. Sometimes people play with reading chapters and they think that God pleases a lot in that. Sometimes I start reading my Bible and I stay stuck in 2 verses and I don't move from there for 2 days. That's meditating the word. That is placing it here in your heart. That's thinking on the word of God. When you're going to take a decision, the Holy Spirit brings that to remembrance. Amen. And you see what the word of God says. But I've been studying this for what? A week now. I've been stuck here, stuck in the good sense of the word, been stuck on these verses. But for example, in 1 Timothy 4, and this doesn't just apply to the youth, it applies to all of us. Why do we read this verse sometimes to the youth? You know why? There's a difference between knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Giving you a Bible, go here, go there. Understanding is to understand what you're reading. understanding in itself, if you don't know how to use it, it's evil. If you don't take care of it, that knowledge or that knowledge will make you a Pharisee and prideful. If you don't believe me, well, keep your spot there. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Here's what Paul says. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. What does this mean then? It means knowledge is wrong? No. Which is why you have to understand the whole word of God. Or in a general term, understand the word. What does this mean? You have to read its context. Now, to just not use up too much time. Whom did he write this to? To the Corinthians. Something similar to what I wrote, to what we spoke last time. What characteristic did those Christians have in that area of Corinth? They were prideful people. They were people who Paul had taught them years ago on the grace of God, and they had used the grace of God as debauchery and not as freedom. And they knew what they were listening to, what they spoke on, but they didn't have that relationship with the Lord, so that knowledge just became a sense knowledge. That sense knowledge where you can quote verses and you even know exactly where it's at in the Bible, and you can even know the Bible from memory, from Genesis to Revelations. You can quote all the books, but you have no understanding of it. You'd be surprised that I don't know all the verses or all the chapters where they're at. I have to use these separators here. I only know the five, the Pentateuch, but that's it. The rest I don't know them by memory. But do you have understanding of what you read? There are people who are prideful and they boast about it, and they can quote the Bible, even change their tone of voice. But the issue with that, yeah, you think it's funny, but do you think God is surprised with that? No, you understand what you're reading. You can have knowledge, but you need to add understanding. Why did Paul say this? What Paul was saying here is that those people were very prideful. They thought that they were very mature because they flowed in the gifts of the Spirit. And Paul told them, no, it's not at all. And as you saw, spoke of sacrificing idols. In Corinth, it was a Greek city, and there was a lot of idolatry. So they would sell the best meat, highest quality meat. The pagans there from Corinth would offer it to their idols. But once the sacrifice came, they would put them in the meat markets because it was such fine meat. But instead of all those brothers in Christ in Corinth, there were a few that if they went to a party or reunion, the family would buy that meat. They would say, they go sit down. They would say, hey, you know, the gossipy one, that meat. The brother so-and-so bought it there in the meat market for the pagans. The ones that they make for the sacrifice, those idols. So the brothers then, the newer ones who didn't have much understanding, were condemned, especially if they would tell them the gossipy brother after they had already eaten the meat. You know, they were already pretty full by then. But then here comes another brother saying, hey, you know, that meat that you ate was sacrificed to the idols. How do you think the brother would feel after that? Very condemned. So Paul gave them instructions saying, hey, you know what? When you go, you don't ask. Just give thanks and eat the meat. Not because it was sacrificed to idols at all. Well, is the idol going to spit it out or something? It was meat. but it would condemn people. So Paul started giving them instructions and told them, hey, look, you just arrive, you eat. Don't ask anything. You eat. Give thanks to the Lord. But if someone tells you then, before you eat it, that meat was sacrificed to idols. So here comes that brother who, based on his conscience, said, don't eat it. Not out of motive from your own conscience, but of the conscience of the brother in Christ. You understand? Amen. Well, this was just something quick so you can understand this. Now, concerning things offered to idols, we know that all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. So is knowledge wrong? No. Knowledge is fine when you mix it with love. Of why you have knowledge. Why you share that knowledge. Is it for you? Is it to glorify yourself? Is it to say that you know more than others? Or is it because you want to be a blessing to others? Look at everything that it explained. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some with consciousness of the idol, until now, eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we better, nor if we do not eat are we worse. But we worry lest anyone somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you have knowledge, eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? He's asking. And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died? But when thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat again meat, lest I make my brother stumble. An example in our culture, so you can understand it better. I don't watch social media, and I'll explain how I work with social media. I don't learn the life of anyone. But I can speak that my conscience doesn't rebuke me saying, oh, I said it for this and this other person. Those who take care of my social media, so you can understand, are a multimedia team. Even the Ignacio Nevia Hughes profile, even when I make videos, it's my son who's helping me. But after that, those who take care of responding and comments and moving things around is multimedia, not me. Amen? You can understand it. I don't watch social media. But there are times people whom I know even in other cities or when I've traveled, people show me things and sometimes I don't even watch them. I'm not interested in watching anything. Why? Because Jesus is my Lord. And Jesus my Lord tells me that I should maintain myself pure of my mind. We're all Christians, but not everyone cares about what Jesus the Lord says and what his word says. What do I refer with this? I've been in places where times people tell me, hey, look, Brother Hughes, what do you think of this? Look, my pastor. And I've seen photos of pastors with their wives in perhaps a ball or in a concert of a certain artist that plays perhaps romantic music. Those are my standards. Well, as I said, especially when this person showed me pictures of his pastor, well, I'm not going to throw more dirt on this brother's pastor. And he said, what do you think? I said, well, you know what happens. I'll be honest. No, he's not going to go to hell. Your pastor's not going to go to hell for doing that. But if I would have done that, which I don't because it's part of my standard, I'll show you with the Bible. Why are they putting pictures if they go to those places? You're hurting the conscience of some brothers. I wouldn't do it. But if his conscience doesn't rebuke them, although here, it goes more than just your conscience, but more so having respect of what we do. Amen. This pastor, whom Nubia used to follow, had to stop because she put photos of being in a secular concert as well. Nubia said no more. This pastor, whom I believe I shared this about, I share these stories so you can relate it and so that there's understanding of what you read. This pastor, one time I went to a church, a small church, but all the people there were people of business, small but prosperous. This pastor grew up in Europe, between Spain and England. So as a kid in Spain and then England, he studied there, and there he met his wife. His wife is English. So in Europe, they have a culture of drinking wine with meals, part of their food. The difference between us Mexicans and Hispanic and them is that they don't get drunk. So after I was there, we went to a restaurant pretty close from there, you know, with high quality cut meat and very, very nice restaurant. You know, French salads and Spanish meals and very, very good food there. So when we were there, he was there. There were also his in-laws, his brother and sisters-in-laws. They had come a few days before. They said that they were going to be staying all week there. But when we were ordering, guess what? They ordered a very nice red wine. The waiter came and started serving, and when he was about to serve me, I said, no, thank you. He said, just give me some mineral water with lemon. He said, oh, but this wine is very good. I said, but yeah, but you know what? Since I was sitting down with him, I had a bit more trust with him. Perhaps not his wife or his in-laws, but him personally. I said, look, you shouldn't have asked for this, because if brothers come in here to eat, the first thing they're going to say is, look, the pastor was drinking, and then the church of mostly Hispanics, majority. I don't know, but I guard my conscience because, oh, look, Brother Hughes, he came to preach about this, and the invited one was drinking with my pastor. And I just gave him something. I was saying, well, if you knew that your in-laws were going to come, why don't you know? If they're going to be all week here, you know, over there at home, you make your European food, bring some bottles of wine, and they're at home where no one's going to see you. But here, oh, well, we already asked for, oh, so what's wrong? You know, I grew up the one. I said, oh, I understand. But it doesn't look right in our culture. Well, good thing that my cup was a big cup, and you could see it was a mineral water, you could tell. We started eating. Three pears from the church came. I was like, oh. I even purposefully put my cup up and I drank from it so that they could see the mineral water. And like this, the table, and then just, oh, hey, pastor, how are you? But looking at their glass. After that, there were some issues. That's what Paul is referring to.
The word of God says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing a religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Hi, I'm Kayla, daughter of Pastors Ignacio and Nuvia Hughes from Word of Faith Ministries. And I want to highly recommend my spiritual grandfather, Kenneth Copeland's book, The Joy and Power of the Tithing Covenant. I have read it myself, and I can assure you, it explains in detail how the tithe is prevalent under grace. I encourage you to obtain a copy and see how it will change your mindset and free you from any doubt that you may have concerning the subject of the tithe. Please visit kcm.org to order it. We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at mpfccc.org and click on the question section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
There are people going to certain places and then taking photos. What terrible testimony. Yeah, you're not going to go to hell. They're condemning you. But if you follow the Lord, conscience, there are some things best not to do out of love of the people. But you need to have intimacy with the Lord. Hallelujah. In another occasion, many years ago, this man that I know, again, he's born here. He's a believer in the Lord, very faithful, and he's married with a European person. And there were some other brothers in Christ there at his home. And Nubi and I were there. And the wife of this brother did a European style food. He said, I know what's missing. And he was headed towards a certain place of the home. And this brother in Christ went behind him. And no one knew for what. He went back. And when his wife came back, had a face of very little friends. Oh, it's nothing. If you're a mature person, a characteristic of a mature person is this, called discretion. You're what? You're discreet. An immature person, a carnal person, is gossipy. A mature person is discreet. Not on you, it's not on me. Then I was in a home that fine, but there were some other brothers there. And I have trust in them. I trust that brother in Christ. But the other brothers, well, didn't know much, so I just stayed quiet. When the other two couples got up, they quickly. So this man, since he trusts us, Novi and I, said, amen. And he mentioned the name of his wife, was going to go to a room that we have there with wine, with many cups of wine. But this man was wise. I didn't come here to promote you to drink. Or to buy wines because of what I'm sharing. Giving examples of people who don't have issues of this. But why did Paul mention this? Because people got out of alcoholism. Going back to the story of that pastor. If there are brothers who moved away from alcoholism, they're going to see you and say, well, at least pastor drinks, so can I. It's part of his culture as something. Ever since he was a kid, but the other one doesn't. He moved out of alcoholism. It is so modern nowadays to just be showing everything off. social media, and they've made many people fall. But when Jesus is your Lord, you'll be discreet. Amen. And we'll be saying, oh, what's so wrong with that? Mature with the word and let the Lord and his word guide you. Someone say amen. Are you learning something with this? Put the word in your heart. Psalms 119. Oh, what did I say? 1 Timothy. Thank you, sister. First Timothy 4. Here's an example of this. First Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word. Believers in word, notice, in conduct, in love, spirit, faith, and purity. I want you to know that the word here, spirit, is not speaking of the Holy Spirit. It's spirit more so in attitude, spiritual attitude, a way of behavior. Now, let's continue here with be an example to the believers in word. So the word specifically, the word of God, not specifically. When you say something, do it. Don't say one thing and not done it. Just be an example. And that's missing a lot in the body of Christ, in leadership, in all types of leadership. Many churches, pastors, leaders, and the brothers in general, say one thing and don't do it. They say, I'll be there 1 hour, and they're not. You know what happens with that? You your heart. I'm going to be at your place at 8. And at 8, you're leaving your house and you arrive at 8:30. And what happens is you confuse your heart from the inside. God loves you the same. God loves you regardless of your action. You know what happens? That you can close doors, and what if you need a job and the person is going to use that person to give you a job, but he sees that he can't trust in you because you arrive late. He won't hire you, and you also deceive your heart as well. So your heart, speaking of your mind, knows that when you say something, you're not going to do it. So then why is it that when you get sick, you say, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, and you think it's going to happen? I just asked a person some days ago, let me know these things. He saw the message, he heard it, and never let me know. And they're kind people. No one removes their kindness. You have no idea how kind they are. And that has nothing to do with, but this has nothing to do with kindness or love or, Brother Hughes, are you mad? No, I'm not mad. Not at all. You keep loving them? Yes, a lot. Nothing to do with that. It has to do that those people have not understood truly, truly the grace of God. And they haven't understood who they are in Christ. They haven't understood the love of God. Where you could be so joyful saying, oh, glory to God. I'm not condemning anyone. I'm teaching. Yeah, we can forget some things. It's true. Some things can happen. But this is when it's a lifestyle. You know people that where you say that you yourself can say, hey, this person is going to come over. Yes, but they're most probably going to arrive late. Well, you know that they're not going to arrive on time. And it's a lifestyle. Worse in leaders. Because the leaders want to preach to the people something that they don't even live in. an example to the believers in word. And this is for our own benefit. Another some time ago, a brother Christ went to him, said, "Oh, why do you have your thing?" He said, "Oh, it's because of this." And I said, you know what? I have a trailer that I don't use. I'll sew it into your life. Oh, glory to life. But I'm going to put some tires because a long time that they've been there and the tires are old. I said, you know what? I'm going to put those tires on it. So people would say, well, what nonsense you're going to give it to him? You're still going to put the tires? Yeah, because it's my seed. But apart from that, if I love that person, why would I just give him trash? What is that? The love in you. That give me some days. I have some other things to do. I got to buy the tires and yeah, I can fix it up a little more. But I'm going to do that. But it's the word. Not because I'm better than anyone. The word. If Jesus is your Lord, go back there. Are you understanding? You're understanding? Go back there to 1 Corinthians 8, verse 12. But when thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Go. I told you, I think on Sunday I mentioned. Culture of today, it doesn't matter where you are, a child of God, you have to change your culture. And if your culture contradicts the word of God, but too bad, you contradict that. Go against it. Be an example to believers. You know what that does? The word of God. Word of God isn't just saying, oh, I love you. Whereas in Christ saying, oh, yes, we love you. No. Where is your example? That's where love is. So when you're going to do something, conditions, see if it's from God. If it's from God, act on them. Do what you have. Someone say, there it is. You're learning this. Good. Is Jesus really? Him and his word are one. Now, go with Psalms 119. If you put the word of God in your heart, you will change. I believe in the churches, that's what we need most. The churches should be based on the word, not on the on. By seeking the supernatural. I'm going to say names now. Some years ago, a man named William Branham, there was no one like him in the 40s and 50s. He operated in a word of knowledge and wisdom. He wouldn't make reunions. He would be filled up because the man could tell you, none of you know me. And everyone, oh yes, no. And he could stand in front of you and say how you were called and even your phone number or your address. And no one like him. To this day, there has been no one like him who has flowed in the gifts of the Spirit like that. You know what? That. And years ago, from 1947 to 1956, to 1957, or something like that, what was known as here in the United States of a flow of healing, which was Oral Roberts, A.A. Allen. Have you seen through Palomino's that very big abandoned building? Right there, A.A. Allen. People were healed by thousands. Another man named Jack Coe. You know what happened with them? Between them, Kenneth Hagin, there was a newspaper called The Voice of Healing. All of them would add things in. But Kenneth Hagin, it was when the Lord started telling him, so Kenneth Hagin told all of them, because he knew all of them, he said, one day, you're all going to die young, and I'm going to follow my ministry. When you die, your ministries will be finished and mine will continue. Because mine is based on the word of God and yours is based only on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Does it mean that we don't believe in the gifts? No, of course we do. Not a single man nor a single woman mature in the word will base their lives and ministry on the supernatural of the Holy Spirit, because the moment comes where the Holy Spirit, that's it. Once you move out of the word, that's as far as it'll go, and that's where these people start hearing voices and they don't want to hear the word. They'll cast away the written word, regardless of what the written word says. Oh, the Holy Spirit this and the Holy Spirit that. And what happened to William Branham? Even the Lord had to deal with him. Kenneth Hagin and a man named Gordon Lindsay. Have you heard of a school in Texas called Christ for the Nations? He and his wife founded Christ for the Nations. And he was a good friend with Kenneth Hagin. But Gordon Lindsay was direct friends with William Branham. Kenneth Hagin was this, so he said, you know what, the Lord told me this and that. And William Branham didn't want to change. He started saying that he was John the Baptist, Elijah. He never repented. He died young. And the Lord told Kenneth Hagin, either 65 or 66, one of those years, he won't make it. And in, right on Christmas, he died. Here in Arizona, on the I-10 in an accident. And all these men, they died. Their ministries didn't continue, and I sometimes wonder, not every day, but I've wondered, what if I died? Would this church continue based on the word of God? Or would they go to religion or to extremes of debauchery and grace? Or would they stay with the word of God? Sometimes, or would they just disperse going to any other church? If the word is not a priority, if the written word not a priority for you, I told you the Holy Spirit is very limited. There are many Christians who don't know how to defend what they believe with the word of God because they don't even know where it is. Others aren't reached because they don't give good testimony. An example. Put the word, Psalms 119, I told you, correct? About to close up. When you have time, read all of Psalms 119 very slowly, regardless if you take a whole month. Everything that you see here with the word, path, testimony, commanded commandments, has to do with the word of God. Amen. Verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Not just a young man, all of us. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let not wander from your commandments or your words. Well, you'll know he won't leave you, so you have to act on this. You have to put the word. Same chapter, verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth, the word. 31. I cling to your testimonies. Oh Lord, do not put me to shame. Well, in the New Testament, the Lord doesn't put us to shame. It's us who we put ourselves to shame. Verse 32. I will run to the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statute. Or what the word means. Then. Verse 80. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be. 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. 90, your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinance, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my afflictions. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. 95. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies or your word. But how do you consider it if you don't even put it in your heart? You don't even know it. This isn't a scolding. I hope you're mature enough. And I'm not accusing you of anything. In general, to whom this applies to. I don't think you came just so I can scold you or make you feel bad. Just teaching. What you have to do, do it. If you have to change something, change it. Do it now. For your own benefit. Amen. God loves you regardless of your actions, and I will always teach you. But up until you understand this with revelation, love God more, to better yourself more. Am I really taking? Why am I taking? My God, brothers and sisters, if criticism killed, I'd be dead. Yeah, but I can't take decisions based on criticism. I can't take decisions based on what I like, what I don't like. What I like from this, what I like from the other. If I like this culture, I can't base myself on that. Once the Lord is my Lord, then He is my owner. He owns me, and I do regardless of what I like. Many of you, when years with me, when I would say, you notice I don't say it anymore. After years ago, when I would used to say, who wants to serve a God who makes you sick or impoverishes you? If this God that would make people sick, I don't want to serve Him. Some of you remember hearing me say this many times, right? I don't say it anymore. Because a point came where God isn't impoverishing you or making you sick, but if this God truly made me sick and impoverished me, I would serve Him regardless. You know why? Because I understood something. He is God and I'm not. He is my Lord and I am not. You all stayed quiet. Point comes when you continue believing in healing and prosperity, but that's a secondary. That's a result of your relationship with God. There is nothing more important than a child of God developing his relationship with God. And again, I would used to say there's nothing more important than faith. But after that, I realized that people would use faith just to obtain things from God. Confessing the word to receive healing. Confessing prosperity to receive cars and things. Many of those people went away. But if you have a relationship with God and you have faith and you use it to believe that you have a relationship with a God that you do not see. But if you develop that relationship with God, it became more alive. Matthew 6:33. It says, Seek first. What was that? Seek first before anything. The kingdom of God. There is no kingdom without a king. There is no king without a kingdom. If I seek and develop that relationship with Him, He is truly my Lord. Everything else will be added to me. Cars, homes, and things. Why do I disagree with many people in my area who went away from what they learned originally? Because they started preaching houses, cars, and things. And now faith is believe the Lord for a car, believe the Lord for a house, and that's it. Believe the Lord for a new house, a bigger house, cars and things. And it started infecting. And many of them now, it became materialism. And now I believe in biblical prosperity. I believe that God has a financial plan for us in the Bible. And I believe that God wants every single one of us stinky rich. That we stink of money and finances. But to finance the kingdom of God. Not just to fill up ourselves with things. And God wants you to have a good car and to live in a good home. That you lack nothing. But how much? How much do we need to live? The moment will come where you realize that everything that we have regardless of how much money we have, we're going to need just a little thing. How much more do we need? Now we have false apostles of prosperity, preaching marathons of who knows how much to take the money from the people. False prophets of prosperity. The only thing I don't like is that when I speak of prosperity, they compare me to them. They put me in the same boat as them. I detest that. Because I'm not here to. I didn't come here to praise myself. I'll just say it because of the truth. And my wife and people that know me and other people that know me. But I'm an integral person. I'm not going to be giving you a message or a word or teach you something of finances just for my own benefit, as many do it. And many of you know me. Because I detest manipulation. I'll teach you the word. If the word does not attract you here, if you don't come for the word because the Lord has commanded you, well, I won't have you here forcefully nor manipulate you nor doing strange things or weird programs or theatrical works. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't want people. It's all nice when the children do that. But notice how the priority is the word. We don't have numbers every single week here to bring the people. Sunday, we have another what? What do I call it, Nubia? Another different order of service? Compared to our midweek services, but the word is always a priority. The word doesn't bring anything. I don't want anything. I'm not interested in the rest. I'm not interested in doing programs and this and that to attract the people. Amen. It's the word that brings change in the lives of the people. If you receive it, and it's full here, you will know the truth will set you free, etc. If you read the parable of the sower, how that word brings change. The only reason I give all glory to God, again, some will hear me through television or internet and will think that I'm exaggerating. That's on them. I will testify simply the truth and will testify of God. The only reason that I believe that I have a tremendous matrimony, tremendous relationship with my wife and my children, because I have a tremendous relationship with the Lord. That's it. There are some preachers that if I could advise them in something is dedicate yourself to something else and fix your life and focus and be here an example, because we read a moment ago. Be an example to the believers. That would that include my wife and my children? So include their wives and their children as well. How do they speak to their wives, some of them, some of those pastors, some of those preachers? Sometimes even being rude. I know some of those supposed prophets, because don't touch them, they're prophets, holy, and they take that verse, you will not touch my anointed ones, and they want to put fear in you. Nonsense. Of course I respect the anointing, but I won't respect or simply I won't let myself be influenced by that. I don't talk about disrespecting people. In other words, you want me to respect you, you need to win over that respect. There are some people who say, the associate pastor or the pastor this and that, you have to respect it. That's not true. You know that Paul wrote that letter to who? To Timothy. Timothy was a pastor. Notice how Paul did not go to Ephesians where the pastor was at. And stood before the thousands of people and said that the story said that it was thousands, 50,000 or something like that. Said, you have to respect Timothy because he is your pastor. No, Paul told Timothy, you let yourself be respected. You win over that respect. Be an example. Did Alex not come today? Where's Alex? Oh, thank you. Oh, there are people who... Oh, Pastor, if you tell the people that I'm this or that, they'll respect me. No, let yourself be respected in the level that you're in. But the Bible says to keep, stay with the Bible. That happens in many people. You know why you respect Sister Mireya? Because you don't see it in table dancing. Amen. There was Sister Mireya there in the car with a nice booze. But you see, it's not just for leaders, brothers and sisters. It's for everyone. Do you want them to respect you in your job? Want to see God in you? Don't laugh at the stupid jokes that they made. Very probable that they're going to come to your church. Or at least they'll respect you. But you need to receive the Lordship of Christ here. And the Word. And put the Word in your heart. And when they start speaking like the world, you say, no, don't talk like that. The Bible says. But if you say, oh, well, the pastor of the church that I go to says, I don't remember where it's at, but he says that it's not good to talk like that. No, it's because what I teach you has to be revelation for you. Not just the pastor says. More than that, the Word says. Amen. Someone greater than the pastor is here. It's called Jesus of Nazareth. Praise the Lord. Thank you for respecting me, but put the Word more in your heart. You learned something? This was good, wasn't it? Did the Word reach you? Did I condemn you? If I condemned you, it's your conscience, because my thing isn't to condemn anyone. Well, you condemned me. No, it was your conscience. And it's because the Word works. It works good. Amen. If you put the Word in your heart, there are some confessions that I have here. Do you have it? I don't know if on the website. Yeah, can they be put on the website? Because, you know, most of them should be available there. Some confessions, you put them there. You don't need to confess all of them in one go. Just meditate two or three verses on them and speak them. And then you speak and say, the Word says... When you're speaking with your family, don't try to convince anyone just with your ideas or with your intellect. No anointing there.
It always needs to be first. And you and I need to know that it's you and I who word in our heart. Nobody's going to die. In all areas of our lives, he needs to be the first. Because he wants the best for us. But he needs to be the first in our lives. Know the Lord more and more. All the day. Know him more. I want to shed light on a couple points. And, you know, last week we shared a word that our beloved Letty received. But it's good that we continue seeing what the Lord is saying. And even she said, you know what, Pastor? Since I began to spend more time with the Lord in prayer and in studying and in fasting, which what you're going to talk about next. But really, when we see fasting in the light of the Word, I am sure that if you allow it, it will change your life, because it will do it in liberty and not in religion. It's marvelous. Believe me. Who those who have done it say amen. So let's go over these points. Remember, this is something that the Lord shared with Leti. The Lord shared it for you and I. Many people have not received because they are focused on themselves and not me. This is the Lord speaking. They worry more for the necessities of needs of their home instead of the needs of my home. The pastor spoke of how the Lord should, the pastor spoke about how the Lord should be first. But the Lord brings to my memory many years ago. I don't even remember where we were going. But he said to me, we're going to do this in church and we're going to do this. And he gave me a breakdown of what we wanted to do, remodeling and adjustments or better things. And I made a big discretion, like a big mistake. And now when I listen to the Lord reminded me of what I said. And I no longer think like this. But the pastor said, we're going to do this, this. And he gave me a list of the plans and projects that we're going to have here in church, in the ministry. And he said, before we do anything in our home, we're going to do this in church. And until we see growth, then we'll see. So I, in my flesh, I said, well, when are we going to do something in my house? Because we're always doing something at church. Do you remember that comment that I make? That, okay, you're forgiven. We were on our way to Phoenix to preach church. I remembered. And it's true. We limit so much the Lord because we think in our mind. And I answered to you, remember? You need to set priorities, the Lord, the house of the Lord. But you know what? I didn't understand in that moment because the question, let me see it. It's because that if I took care of the kingdom, then the kingdom would take care of me. And what we sometimes think is going to take for years, sometimes we limit the Lord with our words of doubt, of complaint. A while ago, we saw, seek first the kingdom of God. And instead of going to the Lord and setting ourselves at his disposition, at his disposal, what is my participation in this project? What is my place in this vision? What is the part that corresponds to me? How can I be of a blessing? Because immediately, the moment you and I set a willing heart, and the Lord will say, you are a candidate. So our financial blessings can get to you. And we say, when, until when? And when we ask those things, we're just lengthening the project. So Letty said it from her mobile first. And I printed it over. But Sister Mireya said, we need to talk about this. We need to emphasize on this. The eyes of our understanding in the flesh need to be opened. And sometimes on occasions, we're more set on ourselves. How many times have we made that mistake? Because we see all in the natural, what I gain, my income, what I know how to do or don't know how to do, instead of seeking the Lord, set him first, instead of letting the kingdom flow through us. So, occupy first of the kingdom and focus on the house of the Lord, and the kingdom will occupy himself from you. We'll see examples and details and testimonies in the word on how we can set the kingdom first and how the kingdom backs up our faith, backs up our willing heart. Can you imagine if the Lord was limited to our limitations? He would do anything. But we do limit him when we start speaking this way. Until when? And why me? Why me? Why not me? Why don't I receive it? Why does this person? It's best to receive from the Lord. You've heard when the pastors say, make my heart pure and holy before you. Why not preferably say that? Lord, make my heart pure before you. And how Job said, Lord, show me what I don't see. If I did something wrong, I won't do it again. And sometimes we have a lifestyle and we don't notice on what we're failing because it's a lifestyle. But it could be that our lifestyle is being an obstacle for the kingdom to flow through us because we're possibly in that lifestyle, God isn't included. We've learned from the Lord that any decision we take, where is the Lord? Are we going to notice him when we're going to sow? Are we in the Lord? Do we inquire from the Lord what our participation is? Or we give what we have left over? Or we say, oh no, if I give all of this, I'm not going to have enough. Who's limiting God? We are. Seek the Lord first and set priorities in our life that he be our number one. The kingdom of God will be in action in our lives because he already did it in Christ. But it's the unbelief and the ego, the selflessness, what comes from our mouth that don't allow what Jesus already did be manifested in our lives. It's time to set priorities in our heart. And it's time to see greater manifestations of the grace in Jesus Christ in our lives. Many people have not received because they have the focus on themselves and not me. So where is our focus? With that, I'll leave you. But I want you to be on your feet with me and examine your heart. And as you give your offering, your tithe, your seed, seek your heart and see the purpose and see why you are sowing that. What are you believing? Are you doing for need? Are you doing it with love, with thankfulness, gratefulness? Or are you doing it just for the basket not to come and you be empty? Because what you sow is what you are going to harvest. And the Lord backs you up. Hallelujah. Be on your feet. We're going to bless this seed and give thanks to the Lord because he gives seed to the one who sows. See yourselves as a sower and your seed will flow through you. Lord, we give you thanks this evening. You are the one who supplies our seed to sow. You are the ones who supplies our bread to eat. You are the one who gives us the ability to produce riches. You are the one who boasts our strength like the buffalo. You are the one who gives us wisdom to complete our assignments, our responsibilities. You are our glory and the one who lifts our head. You are the all for us. We don't have the right to limit you with words of doubt, of fear, unbelief. My desire for each and one of us is that we know you more and more and more. Because by knowing you, we will see the way that you have been operating. And from the Old Testament, we can see how you have been loyal to those who believed you, those who respected you, those who had that high regard for you. And we're not the exception because the Spirit of God lives in us. And now we see the Spirit of God who guides us and directs us and instructs us, who reminds us the things that you have established in our lives. I give you thanks, Lord. because you are the one who gives us all good deeds. And from what we receive from you, we give back. And we worship you and we exalt you. And we sow because we trust that you are the Lord of harvest. You are everything, Lord. We need to just trust you, Lord. I give you thanks because through your word, we can accomplish this. I bless every seed. I speak a multiplication over these harvests that are coming, that your children we see day by day, and that they obtain a greater revelation of who you are, the supplier.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.